Chapter 16. In the morning it was raining. A fog had come over the mountains from the sea. You could not see the tops of the mountains. The plateau was dull and gloomy, and the shapes of the trees and the houses were changed. I walked out beyond the town to look at the weather. The bad weather was coming over the mountains from the sea. The flags in the square hung wet from the white poles, and the banners were wet and hung damp against the front of the houses, and in between the steady drizzle, the rain came down and drove everyone under the arcades and made pools of water in the square, and the streets wet and dark and deserted. Yet the fiesta kept up without any pause. It was only driven under cover. The covered seats of the bullring had been crowded with people sitting out of the rain watching the concourse of Basque and Navarrese dancers and singers, and afterward the Val Carlos dancers, in their costumes, danced down the street in the rain, the drums sounding hollow and damp, and the chiefs of the bands riding ahead on their big, heavy-footed horses, their costumes wet, the horses' coats wet in the rain. The crowd was in the cafes, and the dancers came in, too, and sat, their tight-wound white legs under the tables, shaking the water from their belled caps and spreading their red and purple jackets over the chairs to dry. It was raining hard outside. I left the crowd in the cafe and went over to the hotel to get shaved for dinner. I was shaving in my room when there was a knock on the door. "Come in," I called. Montoya walked in. "How are you?" he said. "Fine," I said. "No bulls today?" "No," I said, "nothing but rain." "Where are your friends?"
"Over at the Aruña."
Montoya smiled his embarrassed smile.
"Look," he said, "do you know the American ambassador?"
"Yes," I said, "everybody knows the American ambassador."
"He's here in town now."
"Yes," I said, "everybody's seen them."
"I've seen them too," Montoya said.
He didn't say anything. I went on shaving. "Sit down," I said. "Let me send for a drink."
"No, I have to go."
I finished shaving and put my face down into the bowl and washed it with cold water. Montoya was standing there looking more embarrassed.
"Look," he said, "I have just had a message from them at the Grand Hotel that they want Pedro Romero and Marcial Lalanda to come over for coffee tonight after dinner."
"Well," I said, "it can't hurt Marcial any."
"Marcial has been in San Sebastian all day. He drove over in a car this morning with Marquez. I don't think they'll be back tonight."
Montoya stood embarrassed. He wanted me to say something.
"Don't give Romero the message," I said.
"You think so?"
"Absolutely."
Montoya was very pleased.
"I wanted to ask you because you were an American," he said.
"That's what I do."
"Look," said Montoya, "people take a boy like that. They don't know what he's worth. They don't know what he means. Any foreigner can flatter him. They start this Grand Hotel business, and in 1 year, they're through."
"Like Al Gabeno," I said.
"Yes, like Al Gabeno."
"They're a fine lot," I said. "There's one American woman down here now that collects bullfighters."
"I know. They only want the young ones."
"Yes," I said. "The old ones get fat
or crazy like Gallo."
"Well," I said, "it's easy. All you have to do is not give him the message."
"He's such a fine boy," said Montoya. "He ought to stay with his own people. He shouldn't mix in that stuff."
"Won't you have a drink?" I asked.
"No," said Montoya. "I have to go."
He went out.